Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Show. This is the Strike Zone Edition, Season 2, Episode 7. It is your host, David McCaig Jr., and I'm joined by co-host of the Strike Zone Edition here on the Game Sports Show, TGSS. Connor, my friend, you're studying away, the bar, all the fun stuff, and you're taking time to come on Strike Zone here tonight with yours truly. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. There's always time for the Strike Zone. Can't wait to get going.
Definitely. You know, we've had some time off. The last upload was on September the 2nd. I laugh because, you know, we planned to do an upload more so as the playoff picture opened up. And then, of course, due to good reason, we've had to take a pause with our upload. So it delayed it an additional month. So we apologize to listeners that it's been well over 30 days for our last Strike Zone upload. But we're here today. And Connor and I are going to get into as much as we can for your enjoyment for the World Series coming up. Some bits and banters about, yes, probably the Blue Jays might come up. Heck, maybe Aaron Judge might come up. But you got us for about 20 minutes here. So I'm going to dive right into the agenda. Firstly, for the agenda here this evening, we're going to have a little bit of housekeeping items like we've had for our two previous news shows this week. And then when we get officially swung away into Strike Zone, we're going to talk a World Series right off the bat, and then we're going to get into some of those hot takes and the bits and banters that I was telling you about. So I'm going to go right into the housekeeping items. There's been two previous news shows this week. There's been Top Shelf and In the Pocket. Top Shelf, I had a very lengthy housekeeping agenda list I discussed. Yesterday was In the Pocket. That's October the 26th, as we record here on October the 27th. There was some housekeeping items that were basically just bumping off what happened on Top Shelf, but I'm going to make sure I do it on this show as well, just so I touch all the audiences. So an update with the Gain Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and the Gain Sports Show Canada, all shows are resuming. As I've just said, shows are resumed this week. For the Gain Sports Show USA, that is the 1400 a.m. edition on Monday 6 to 8. That is still on pause. Yours truly, and as I said, honestly, in the past couple uploads, I am awaiting response from that end, the 1400 AM radio station, Sovereign Communications in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, in terms of what is going to happen on next steps with the show. We do hope that we are back on live radio in the very near future. If for whatever reason we're not, there will be an announcement, and there will be another avenue that we will go down to ensure that the Monday night still gets its coverage. But even if we are back, there'll be an announcement for that as well. We hope it is in the very near future. So anyone asking about the 1400 AM edition, it has been on pause, and of course for good reason, as we figure out everything that we need to. The Podbean page, that is our only platform that hasn't had both tribute shows to our co-founder and vice president of the Game Entertainment Media, Scott Nason, because yours truly is in the middle of attempting to gain access to the Podbean page. So once I do get that access, I will upload previous shows that has occurred since Scott's passing, as well as these shows this week and all the shows that were missed, so you can get caught up on all the content. That is the Podbean page, which has every upload that we've had basically for the last 6 years on there. Much like our website, there's a lot of content on there, and we certainly do not want to lose that Podbean page, despite having every show in history on this computer, that being my computer, and as well as Scott's computer as well. They're on Podbean and our website, but we certainly know a lot of listeners that were close to Scott's side, and followers do follow our Podbean page. So to you Podbean listeners, we appreciate the feedback and questions about what's going to happen on that end, but I guarantee you that we will have shows on there in the near future. So just await these updates for the United States side of the Game Sports Show. We are still ironing a few things out, but the Game Sports Show Canada is back in full swing, full shot, full punt, and I'm trying to use all the sports references I can with all of our sports shows here. So we will have a special edition upload upcoming too. Within the next week, they'll be with Pierre-Luc LeBlanc. He is a former Calgary Flame and New Jersey Devil in the National Hockey League. He was a tough customer. The Game Sports Show is powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. Head over to the TGM YouTube page. We got some great new content going to be going there very soon. TheGameSportsShow.com and all of our platforms, Apple, Spotify, Podtail, Amazon, Google, and yes, Podbean. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe on all those platforms. And a shout out to The Sports Displays. You would have heard the 2-minute long introduction after the music intro about The Sports Displays, one of the new sponsors here on the Game Sports Show. Fantastic product. You can hang it in your man cave, in your office. Great product where you can just put up that jersey that means so much to you, or heck, your kid's jersey, your own jersey. It's easy to install. Just put it on the wall and it sticks to the wall. There's options for screws, but why do that when you just have it up, put on the wall perfectly, and it makes the jersey seem so perfect when it's up on the wall. So check out thesportsdisplays.com. So that is the housekeeping items, Connor, and thanks for sticking with me there. This one, that was actually a little bit shorter. That was now 3 minutes and some change, while other introductions were 10 and 5, and so I'm getting shorter each time. But let's talk strike zone. We know what we're talking about here. We're going to go to the World Series, Connor. And it's not a World Series I predicted, okay? It's not a World Series I don't think any of us predicted. If I can go back in the year, if I'm predicting correctly, I didn't write down, because the first time I didn't write down this year, I believe I had the Blue Jays down in the World Series, and the Dodgers were my picks, if I remember correctly. And that didn't happen. The Padres beat out the Dodgers. We know what happened to the Blue Jays. We're not going to get into that yet. Right now, we have the Phillies and Astros, Connor. And the game one is tomorrow. Tomorrow being Friday at the time of this recording. You may hear this episode on Friday. So it might be tonight. Whenever you're listening, game one, it's Friday, October the 28th at 8:03 Eastern time is when you could watch the game where the Phillies are at Houston. Connor, talk us through the World Series, man. Give the floor to you a little bit about what you think. But your preview on this year's World Series.
Well, here's the scoop, Dave. This is the fourth World Series that the Houston Astros have been a part of since 2017, when they won against the LA Dodgers in a close one.
Is that good?
That's pretty darn good. Now, we know the cheating scandal has kind of tainted a lot of this run, but for them to make it back to the World Series after all that mess both last year and this year, I think it definitely speaks to the fact that no matter which garbage can they were banging, or you know, which sign they were stealing, they still have some really, really good ball players. And they're currently 7-0 heading into the World Series. The thought crossed my mind, has a team ever gone undefeated in the playoffs? So I did a little bit of research before the show. And what I could come across is no team apparently has had an undefeated postseason run since they invented the wild card in 1995. Mm. The last team to do it undefeated was the Reds in 1976. Oh. But they went 7-0. The Astros are already 7-0. So winning the World Series back then was, like, I don't want to say easier, but it might as well have been, because there was less teams that you had to beat to get this far. So since the divisional era, I guess that's what they're calling it, began in 1969, the Reds are the only team to do it, and the Astros currently have the same record the Reds did when they did it. So if they can sweep here, which I'm probably jinxing them, but if they sweep here, it would be something that the world hasn't seen maybe ever. Because of the length of the playoffs that they have to play nowadays. And I think the biggest storyline here is, can Houston prove all the haters wrong? But I don't even know if we can call them haters, because I think it's just people who are, you know, rightfully upset that they would be, you know, cheating the way that they were. So they're sort of the villains, but they're also carrying an incredible record with incredible players. Led by Justin Verlander at age 39 with a 1.7 ERA in the regular season. This man is a machine. Like, he can't be stopped. His numbers are impeccable this year. He probably can win another Cy Young. And that'll be going up against the Philadelphia Phillies and Bryce Harper. I know that you've had some mixed feelings about Bryce Harper. I remember doing a show when he signed with the Phillies for that monster contract. We did a lot of Bryce Harper talk back then. I was wondering what your thoughts were on Harper's pursuit of the World Series this year and going up against this behemoth Houston Astros team that a lot of people hate. and for good reason.
You know, I'm going to say flat out first about Houston before I get to the Bryce Harper. Houston was called cheaters, and what that team did is certainly just like a little, a little shit stain in the crevices of baseball, because it's what's causing people doubt now and the hate, but it's time for people to move on from it. I agree, they're cheaters. I love that chirp. I think it's hilarious, but it was also more than a couple years ago. You know, it's time to move forward from it and respect the team that they have right now. And this team is absolutely just a machine. It's a Titan. It is Kang the Conqueror. It is Thanos. It is Darth Vader. I know the Yankees are basically the evil empire of baseball, but right now the machine is what I'm talking about. The just brute strength of being just a great team overall, from batting, pitching, and every little aspect of the game, is the Houston Astros. They've been consistent all season. These guys, you said it right at the top of your comment, Connor. The Houston Astros have been here four out of 6 years, correct? I believe it was. So
Four since 2017.
Four since 2017. So that tells you something. Cheating aside or not, this team is a juggernaut. It is gonna be hard to derail this train. And you say Justin Verlander. He was almost a Blue Jay this year, and that's a fact. That is a fact. He admitted it, which makes it real. And I'm sure Blue Jays fans love hearing that right now, because I know they would have loved someone like Justin Verlander in their rotation. He had such an amazing year, but he's found his little niche there in Houston. You know, it's a great fit for him in Houston. But Bryce Harper, you're right. We talked about Bryce Harper. This guy was hated in baseball because he took a massive deal. But who wouldn't if you're offered that money? He leaves the Nationals. The Nationals win without him, right? The Nationals win without Bryce Harper. And you're sitting there saying, shit, do I feel bad for Harper or not? And everyone was 90% absolutely not, because the guy's still making 30-plus a year. He's playing the game of baseball that he loves. But you kind of feel for him, because it's still a human, too, that just went to Philly because he thought they're on the track at that time to win, and ever since he was there, there's been some ups and downs. There's consistency, there's been issues. But now, Kyle Schwarber, who also was apparently almost a Blue Jay this year, boy, wouldn't that have been great, Connor, to have Verlander and Schwarber in Toronto this year? That would have been something special. But me fantasizing aside, staying on point with Bryce Harper, Harper goes into the last game against the Padres, who, I'll be honest, I was pulling for from the NL. I was really hoping that was the team that was going to make it. I have a soft spot for the Padres like I did for the Cubs, and Connor can attest to that. I've openly said this on the show. And Harper, though, getting that home run, it had almost that Bautista feel, right, from the bat flip. And it wasn't the same kind of level, of course, to go to the World Series or anything, but it was that last inning almost. It was the seventh for Bautista. It was the eighth for Harper. Gets a two-run jack to get a lead for the Philadelphia Phillies going into the ninth against a very, very tough team in the Padres. And Bryce Harper, you got to think, after that swing, the pain the past few years, dealing a few things with the Phillies, the inconsistencies, everything just went aside after that hit. You know, you can probably see it in his eyes if you rewatch it. All that relief with a chew or whatever. I guess it's not chew, but it looks like he has a chew in his mouth. And you can tell that he is just breathing a sigh of relief on top of pure emotion for what he did. And Philadelphia erupted. Dislike Philly fans when it comes to hockey. You guys are brutal to your team. You guys are actually very ruthless to all your teams, if we even want to count the Eagles in that, of course. But the Philadelphia Phillies fans, when they're winning, they were just absolutely a rock in Citizens Bank Park. That place was just erupted when Harper hit that bomb. And we're finally seeing the clutch in the Harper that they anticipated and that they wanted. And good on Harper to do that. But you're going against Houston now, Connor. Good fucking luck. You're Houston, I think, is going to win this series. They'll be lucky to lose one game. And that's nothing against the Philadelphia Phillies. This team of Houston is just fantastic. They're a special team right now. And it's their year to win a World Series, and cheating free, if you will.
Yeah, no, this is the time, right? Harper, who from the moment You know, he picked up a bat. He's been a five-star everything, rising through the ranks. You know, he's one of those guys who you'd see as a high schooler would have like YouTube videos of hitting 500-foot home runs when he's, you know, 17 or 18 years old. This is the equivalent, I guess. I don't know if talent-wise it's the same, but you know how with a guy like Alex Ovechkin in the NHL, you were just waiting for his team to get there and just waiting, and he finally got his World Series.
Yeah.
I think with Harper, you have a player who had so much hype as a rookie, and you know, he became the villain, and he left for the big contract and all of these things. And now, you know, after a fairly like strong MLB career, he's had some injuries. He's shifted positions from when he was younger to now. This is his chance, and what better way to do it than against just about as strong of a team as you're ever going to face in the World Series in Houston. I think it's a really special opportunity for him. Philadelphia, as you said, is a very, very rockin' sports town. So, you know that the stadium's just going to be electric there. I'm really excited to see how things shake out here.
I think it's going to be something. So to kind of wrap up the World Series kind of talk, we don't have too much preview to really get into. We talk about Harper, Verlander. The pitching's going to be big. To give the listeners a little feedback here, I think pitching is what it's going to bring it down to really pull it away. Guys who are going to shut down the big hitters, the Altuves, the Alex Brickmans, the Yordan Alvarez train that is just guy is just a monster. If the Phillies can overcome and get through that lineup consistently and keep the Houston Astros under 200 hitting somehow, I think that's literally the only way they're going to win this game, because the Houston Astros pitching, or win this series, because I think if you do it with the from the other side of it, from the Phillies end, if they're hitting over 250 in this series, try to aim for that, because Houston's pitching, it's really impossible to really dismantle them in games. You watch them. You watch the Seattle series against Houston. You can look at some tape from the first game to look at some success, but after that, that's really about it. You know, so if Philadelphia, do they have a chance this series? Yes, they're there for a reason. They got some power. They're the underdog going in. They have a chance, but will they? Honestly, I don't think so. I think Houston wins this in five games. Philly will be, and that's me being generous, to be honest with you. I've watched Philly this year. I've watched them play Toronto, and Toronto put them up for a lot of runs that game, a lot of runs, and they beat them that series. But that's then. This is now. This is a complete different animal. I'm not going to base it on a Toronto Blue Jay game. Trust me, that's one of the last things I would do. But Houston is a team that is well systemized is the word I want to use. I don't think that would be the appropriate word to use, but I'm going to use that anyways. They are functioning at a level right now that's going to be hard to dethrone and derail. It's just, I can't see it, Connor. The only thing that comes out is going to win this series, and it's a very obvious media term to use, but pitching. Pitching is what's going to win this series. If you could shut down the big hitters. So secondly to pitching is defense, defensive side of the baseball. Pitching, if they can limit the hitting on either side, whoever you are, and you can make some big plays in the field, that will be what's big. And if you're looking for a third recipe component, when you get on base, you capitalize on those opportunities. Something that a lot of power teams don't do, such as, again, the Blue Jays, when they get on base, very minimal steals, or when they have some guys that can run. But Houston has very smart and aggressive base runners next to, well, not really the Yordan Alvarez type lads, but that's where the Phillies are decently good at as well. I think they're underrated in terms of how aggressive that they are on the base. I'm not talking stolen base numbers. I'm just talking about aggressiveness, going home on the when it gets out to the L field, running to second and stretching those doubles. Stretching your hits, if you can make that pull off and capitalize on getting on base, you have a shot if you're Philly. But if you try to go run and gun with the Astros, it ain't going to happen, Connor. It ain't going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. This, my dad likes to call this sort of pitching situation in the World Series all hands on deck pitching. I think it's very apt. The great thing about the playoffs is you're not on a 5-day rotation. You're not waiting a week to see your best pitcher throw again. If it's a close game, you can expect to see any pitcher from any team warming up in any inning whenever it's down to crunch time. So, you know, if we're in a 2-2 series and it's a one-run lead for Houston, don't be surprised if you see Justin Verlander warming up in the bullpen. And I think that's what makes the World Series and playoff baseball in general so fun, is you just see people stretched to their limits, and oftentimes it's best showed through the pitching, with guys taking on roles they don't usually do, because at the end of the day, you want to throw your best against their best, and sometimes that means going in for your 12th inning in a 3 or 4 day stretch. But I'm excited to see how it plays out. Houston definitely has the firepower in their rotation and bullpen, and it's going to be quite the hurdle for Philadelphia to overcome.
It is, but anything can happen. So I don't mean to turn off any Philadelphia Phillies fans, but you're in tough. You're in tough. So Connor, that's where we're going to go with the World Series at this current point, kind of review who's there, some players in there, some key components to it. So the way this is going to work going forward, and I'll get more of this towards the end, is that when it comes to future shows, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about if it's after the World Series, during the World Series, or shows that are during and after. Whatever shows that we do up next, we'll be talking maybe different story. If it's a 2-2 series, maybe Philadelphia figures it out. But they're in tough. The other points I want to get into, we have only about 5 more minutes here, Connor. We were aiming for our sweet spot of time. The Toronto Blue Jays, you're a Tiger fan, Aaron Judge, John Schneider, that's connected to the Blue Jays. So I want you to go first about a topic that you want to bring up, and then I will lead us into the last point. And we'll do a point each that we have for bits and banters, basically.
Okay, Dave, I got a really fun one, and it's a bigger story than Aaron Judge
Ooh.
breaking the record for home runs, like the 61 asterisk record. So I went to the Blue Jays game a few weeks back, and I was standing in line beside Mr. Kim from the show Kim's Convenience.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so the actor, he's in Star Wars: The Mandalorian as a X-wing pilot. I think he was there, taking photos with fans. He had like a Blue Jays jersey on, and we were like one row apart. So he's taking photos with a fan in line waiting for food. And I was with my friend, and I thought, I don't want to bug him. Like the dude's probably just wants to watch a game, and sit down in our seats. Sure enough, he's like a row over. So we go to get like some drinks, halfway through the game, fourth, fifth inning, and we are like the only three people, me, my friend, and him, waiting in line to get a drink, like in the fifth inning or sixth inning. And then like one fan comes over and takes a photo with him. And like we were shoulder to shoulder, and I didn't say anything, because I didn't want to be that guy to
Yeah,
bug
no,
him.
I hear you. I'd be the same way.
But I just thought it was really fun and a much bigger story in the grand scope of MLB baseball than Aaron Judge.
I love that. I love that. I appreciate that. That's a lot more cooler and a lot more of a conversation starter and what people want to hear. Then, you know what? I could not agree more with your tactic. If I saw a celebrity out in public, we interview guests on the show and people say, well, Dave, you interview celebrities. Look, I interview athletes. Okay, athletes don't like to be called celebrities, a lot of them, believe it or not. They're professional sports athletes, which is still in the eyes of being a role model celebrity, don't get me wrong. But what I mean by celebrity is if I went out and saw Chris Hemsworth out somewhere, or Leonardo DiCaprio, or Jim Carrey, who I love Jim Carrey. The Rock is actually one of my favorites. And if you go out in public, you don't want to bother them, okay? You don't want to take a picture. If I saw them, I would just, if and if we made eye contact, hey man, you're whatever. You just have a
Love your
shake your head.
stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a big fan. I love what you do. You're a big part of my life. Keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate what you do for others. I don't know. You say like The Rock, he's big for charity, right? So you compliment his charity and say that, that you watch him in wrestling. And you just have a basic conversation. Don't say, hey, can I take a picture? Can I have your autograph? No, just shake his hands and appreciate seeing him. Like with Ryan Reynolds, I'd almost have a hard time not hugging the man because he's, number one, he's a beautiful dude. I'll just flat out say it how it is. But he's amazing. He's Canadian. You just wanted to shake his hand, meet him, and say, thank you for being you. That's basically how you got to look at it. And if they come to you and says, hey, do you want, if they ask you to take a picture, you should be fucking honored. You should feel like a celebrity. That's when it's like, that's when it's okay.
Then I would jump on that in a heartbeat. Yeah, like you don't want to treat these people like they're a weird medal that you want to like put on your shelf and be like, yo, I got to get the Instagram photo with this. I mean, that's fine. Like I want it. Like there's a part of me, a huge part of me that wants to do something like that. But at the end of the day, these are like human beings. And I think I think you're bang on. Like it's better to just be like, hey man, like I love your stuff. Thanks. That's it. Like you made me laugh or you made, you know.
Even your Instagram post you mentioned, right? Your Instagram post. Like at the end of the day, 10 years from now, 20, 30 years from now, how are you going to, is anyone going to know that you met him unless they look at your Instagram? No. So how do you remember? By using your eyes the old fashioned way. As Robin Williams, a legend himself, Robin Williams had said in his Weapons of Mass Destruction comedy stand up where he said, well, how a fan, I guess, asked him or something along this line. I'm trying to remember the comedy skit, but he goes, how will I remember? And Robin Williams goes, well, the old-fashioned way, you use your eyes. So that is your eyes and memory. That's all that matters. You just meeting them, that's pretty cool. And if they ask you to take a picture, cool. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it. But now what I'll get into then is I'll – about Aaron Judge, I'm going to save that for another show, but I will say this. He will not be a Yankee next year. I know people think I'm crazy, and I'm probably wrong. I'm seriously wrong. But Aaron Judge will either be an Angel. Yes, I said it. If I know they might move Ohtani, they're for sale. Don't kid yourself. He's going home to California. He's not from the Anaheim area. He's from the San Francisco area. So he's either going to be an Angel, Dodger, or a freaking Giant. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. I wasn't just saying the Angels. Number one team will be the Giants. Yes, the Yankees can all bid, but Aaron Judge getting out of the AL, love it, first off. Secondly, him going to San Fran, where he won't get booed off the fucking field because you Yankee fans should be ashamed of yourself for booing for him because that guy was hitting bombs for you all year. The guy, didn't want to sign a contract because your management was fucking lackadaising. Give the guy a break. He will and has the right to look at free agency. He's going to get max offers. The guy's going to have 20 or 30 max offers on the table. Okay, and he's going to take one of them, and it's not going to be a fucking Yankee one. If he goes back to the Yankees, then a little bit of shame on him because the fans do not appreciate him. Everyone loves playing in New York. I get the logo and the icon, playing for the pinstripes, but you've played for the pinstripes. It's over. Go play in San Fran. Play somewhere where they're going to fucking wear your jersey all over the place. Never mind just New York. They're going to chant your name, and they're never going to boo you. That is where you go. Go to San Fran.
Dave, I thought you loved booyah.
I love booyah. I say it at the beginning of the show, but booyah, that's what I'll say. B-O-O-O. Yeah, you got it. He will be a Giant. We'll get to that because I'm sure it'll be a story later on in the summer or later on this year after the World Series as the winter meetings come around. Toronto Blue Jays. Listen, people want to hear me rant. I only got a couple minutes, so I don't got time to rant as much as I want. The better team did not win, per se. The Jays have a better team on paper, but the better all-around team won that series. That's what I'll say. Batting, Jays are better. I'm sorry, they are. Pitching, nope. Seattle is... they're a bullpen. No, way better. Defensively, Seattle is also better. Defensively, which shocked me a little bit. I was a little surprised. But they're better defensively. Was John Schneider outmanaged? Not until game three. When he pulled out Gausman for Meza, dumb move. He should have kept Gausman in because that caused the home run and started the comeback. Why Bo Bichette is running after the fucking baseball from Looney Tune Island up until where Springer is, just downtown centralized for the ball. And Bichette's running with his gorgeous hair in the wind. Probably smiling, saying, the girls are probably looking at me on the way. You're dumb. I would not be surprised if they move him to second and they try to make a run to get a shortstop. But not saying who I think that's going to be, but that's just a bold prediction. He should stay at short because I think the potential in the arm's great, and Santiago Espinal is great at two. So ultimately, will he move to second? Probably not. I'm just saying that out of a little bit of anger. Toronto is not good enough pitching-wise. Their bullpen's not good enough. And what have I been saying for the last 3 years? Their pitching and bullpen's not good enough. Ryu can't stay healthy. You like Gausman played good this year. Manoah, yes, Manoah had a bad first game. That's our guy, though. Okay. John Schneider, yes, he deserves to come back. As much as people may disagree, he deserves to come back. He will be back, and he will be better. Players love playing for him. But there's one problem, and Sid Sixero said this, Connor. You cannot go this offseason without doing something drastic. Now, that doesn't mean you go trade Bo Bichette for somebody. Okay, you just need to make people held accountable for what happened in that game, and you got to make adjustments to make the team better and say this is not going to be tolerated. Are you going to turn into the Toronto Maple Leafs? Yes, I did say it. I've never said it on a baseball show. I'd never really bring up hockey on the show, but I just did. Okay, I had to use that as an example because Sid Sixero did, so nobody better chirp below in the comments saying I brought up hockey because I'm using a point. Sid Sixero said that you got to hold him accountable or you're going to walk all over you, you're going to turn into the Maple Leafs. Was a 9-1 blowout or an 8-1 lead, sorry, worse than the 4-1 lead? No, it wasn't. You're not a Leaf fan. If you're not a Leaf, if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, you know that's not worse because it happened more than once even after that, and you can't get out of the first round. The Jays made some strides this year. They made it to the playoffs when last year they didn't. They didn't do well against Seattle, but I think next year they are going to come back better and stronger, but they need to address the key areas. That is the fourth, fifth pitching in the rotation, not fucking Kikuchi. The guy's dust. Reuse a Band-Aid. Get some good quality pitching down there. They're going to give you six innings, not 29 strikeouts a game. Someone who's going to throw five Ks and get a lot of ground balls for you. And then you need a seventh and eighth setup, and then those guys aren't growing on trees, seventh and eighth inning pitchers, but that's what the Blue Jays need. If they get that with this same lineup, there would have been no problem. But that's my only banter about the Jays. They choked. Seattle was better in that series. They deserve to lose. And yes, they should keep John Schneider, and they should make some shakeups this year, or they're going to turn into the atmosphere or the attitude that they can get away with anything. This is the time that the Blue Jays have to be able to put a stop to that right now, or you might turn into the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yes, I said that. Connor, that's my only bant. I tried to keep it under 4 minutes. I think I hit about three there. We're just hitting over 30 minutes right now for the Strike Zone edition. Technically, I used 4 minutes up for the housekeeping items. So we're still under our sweet spot when we're talking Strike Zone. Any final thoughts for you? Anything you want to say about what I said even? I know you must love when I rant for 4 minutes.
No, it's my favorite thing, and I've spent 2 months waiting for some good old-fashioned Dave rant. I think we're going to have a lot more time to explore like upgrades for the Jays in the offseason. Looking forward to that, too. And in the meantime, I guess we just have to wait and see how these last few games of the playoffs finish out.
Definitely. Now, speaking of that, what the plan is for Strike Zone future episodes, I'll say it how it is. If the series is 2-2, 1-1-2-2, Connor and I will do a show. If Houston goes up 3-0 in the first three games, Connor and I may not do a show because then we'll be doing another show right after. And Connor and I got schedules and different shows. I got to work around different agendas, so we got to make sure we plan out these shows appropriately. But what I can guarantee you is that there will be a show within the next 10 days or right after the World Series crowned. Either way, could be a show after this weekend. You can expect one show for sure, potentially two, to lead up into the conclusion of Strike Zone for this season. Connor, it's been good today. It's been good talking. Been good. Feels good to rant about a little bit of baseball. It's been bottled up in my stomach a little bit, but I didn't get as much as I want to say out, but I feel that's good. I'm content about what I had to say. I hope I got my point across. You know, that still bleed the blue. The Blue Jays had a good year. Your Tigers, they're going to progress in the right way. They got the young pieces there. I know we have a lot of Tigers fans and followers on the show. So as they get better too, that means more love and talk about the Tigers. But we have a lot of local stuff we'll be getting into next season. So a lot of big things coming for Strike Zone. But as you said, we still have a couple episodes here to get through. And we didn't fully say it, but I think we did. But just to confirm with our listeners, are we both confirming that we believe the Astros are going to win the World Series this year?
Yeah, I'll put my name on that.
Yeah, there we go. I agree. Will Harper, here's the last trick question. Will Harper hit a home run in this World Series?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. At least two.
At least two. And I think Yordan's hitting three. That's a bold prediction. Astros, Phillies, first pitch is Friday, October the 28th, 8:03 Eastern time. I'll be watching. I love watching World Series. Even if the Jays aren't, I think the World Series is just some exciting baseball, so hopefully you check it out. Comment below on any feedback you want to give or reach out to us. There's been a lot of pauses and changes with all of our platforms on the Game Sports Show. We appreciate the listeners for tuning in and making sure they're patient with us through. We had quite the difficult time the past month with a lot of adjustments as well. So we're glad to be back here on Strike Zone. And Connor, I'm glad that we touched base today. Thanks, my friend. It's been a treat.
Absolutely, Dave. Have a good one.
You too. Now, good luck on the bar stuff too, Mike. Goodness,
thank you.
If you want, I can go write it for you. I'll give you an. I'll definitely pass that with flying colors. Every answer will be a sports question.
You're gonna be the Mike Ross for me here.
I'm literally gonna put Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Raptors, and Pittsburgh Steelers, and all my answers. That would be the answers, and they should pass. That shouldn't even be a thought after that. But no, jokes aside. Good luck and all that. I know we're going to talk prior to when that happens, but I want to make sure good luck with the study. And I want to, of course, and I want to remind the listeners, okay, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.